Tiny Marie, you have a testimony or something for us. We honor Tiny. He is a wonderful man of God. He leads the healing rooms in this area, and he's just been a friend of the church for 300 years.
You're giving my age away. Good morning, everybody. I love to come to this place. I feel as though I'm coming home when I come into your place. I feel as though I'm coming to Granny's home. You know, when you go to Granny's home, there's a whole lot of goods waiting for you.
Am I older than you?
Granny, not Grampy. So, as Pastor Randy said, I'm the coordinator of the Lower Mainland Healing Rooms. And we oversee eight rooms at the moment, and we're trying to get more rooms. We're looking at as far as Merritt and Chilliwack, and we've got one in Pemberton. And with COVID, of course, the healing rooms have closed down for just like the churches. And we've been trying to get things going again, and we're just about there. And that brings us hope, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, just as we were closing, our Abbotsford Healing Room came into existence, and we were so happy. And Mila is the director there, and she said to me, "Tiny, I've got adverts in the newspaper." She said, "I've paid for all of this stuff, and now we're going to close down. Can we have just one day?" Okay, you can open that day. Well, they had one person coming in that day, and that was the end of it. But one of the girls, one of the team members, was pregnant, and she gave birth to a little boy. And the doctor said there was no chance for this child. It's brain dead. It's not going to live. Well, of course, we don't take that. So we were texting and we were doing whatever we had to do. And today that little boy is alive.
Thank you, Lord. Well.
Amen. Amen. This is our God. And so many of us, especially the frontliners, and that's the type of work that we do, is we frontline. When you pray for somebody, you're right on the cutting edge. And we found that a lot of the directors, myself included, this year has been terrible. Oh, it's just been ugly. Well, yesterday we were in this room. I was with another little group, Audrey and myself, and there were 12 people in this little room. And I feel so warm over here. Honestly, I feel when I come here, there's Holy Spirit is here. And the church was empty. I mean, can you imagine just 12 people? But I don't think that Holy Spirit leaves this place. I think he stays here. He loves every one of you. And yesterday, as I was sitting here, I felt it turning. I felt that all the hopelessness that has been on us, been on our world, is turning. I feel the turn has come around, and we are heading for greater things than what the Lord has ever done, as he's promised us. Greater things than what I have done, you will do. So expect great things.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
We will.
Amen. 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 Well done, Tiny. Thank you. Not a good guy. Hallelujah. Where's my stuff? There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Tammy is back with us, and I'm grateful for that. And she brought me a gift, and it's perfect for me. There you go. It fits. It's just that I have this mic thing. And so...
You don't recognize me.
Who's that? Well, actually, you can't see me.
Who is that?
It's camouflage. So when you hear the word, it'll be direct from the throne room. I don't get in the way. So much for that. Yeah. Uh-oh, now I'm caught. There we go. Well, now you can tell everybody that our pastor got caught on Sunday. Thank you, Lord. So, what's he up to, this God of ours? He's always doing something. I usually have something to bring about what's happening in the world, just from my perspective, and you know, hopefully a prayed-in perspective. And I have something today. I feel like God is doing some incredible things these days. He's in this time. Well, let me back up just a bit. One of the first sermons that I preached coming into COVID season was, we're going to need discernment in this season. We are going to need to discern what it is that God's doing, because he's going to be doing something. And will we have eyes to see and ears to hear the things that God himself is doing? And will we know that it's him, or will we carry on the way we have been carrying on? And so COVID was upon us and has been, and some terrible things have been happening. One of those things that just irked me this week was that they announced that we had a record number of deaths on the due to drug overdoses. 170 people died of drug overdose in May. Way more than died of COVID. And so they're attributing that to a number of things, you know, too much fentanyl and not enough good heroin because the borders are closed, blah, blah, blah. I think that a very strongly contributing factor was the well-intentioned government that gave everybody down there $2,000 a month, and it came all of a sudden in May. So they became millionaires, and they couldn't handle it. And that breaks my heart. What was meant for good, you know, good intentions of the government, I think was turned to evil by that other guy. And just so sad. Anyway, there's lots of sad, sad, sad stuff happening out there. But we've had a time, and I mentioned this to the guys at prayer on Thursday, where our idols have been taken away from us. Yeah. I can't go and worship at the sports altar. I can't go and worship at the mall altar. I can't go to my altar of theater and worship the great gods of Hollywood. All of those things have been taken away from us. So what do we do with that? Well, for the most part, society has stayed at home and counted our losses. Oh, it's so sad. I can't go out and do this, and I can't go out and do that. But what if, with discernment, we decide, God, you're up to something. You've given me a time out. I don't have those things to keep me busy that I normally would, so maybe I'll dust this old book off on the shelf. Oh, Bible, it's called. Maybe I'll even open that one. And so we've had a chance to reset. Now, if you've been around computers for any length of time, you understand that resetting things gives, if you reset your computer, it gives it a brand new handshake to everything it connects with. It, all of the programs start over again and everything starts fresh. It isn't taking all of the stuff that it's picked up along the way into your next session with it. It resets it, restarts it, and everything starts to work again. And it's wonderful. I think God gave us a reset. But if we don't have eyes to see, we'll miss it. Now, we'd be coming out of this thing, and we may have missed the great, wonderful time that was there by frittering it away. Now, no condemnation. That's not what we're about here. Because there's still time. There's still time to spend some time with Him, get to know Him, reset your relationship with Him. Look what's happened in the world as a result. We could actually see mountains on the North Shore in May. Usually the pollution is so bad that it's just hazy sort of shadows that are out in the North Shore. But you could see trees from Surrey on the mountains in May because the pollution wasn't there. Nobody's driving their cars. The waterways in Venice were clear enough that you could actually see fish in them, and people were amazed because they had never seen a fish in those waterways, the canals of Venice, in their entire lives. Pollution was down so drastically because of COVID that everything seems to be brighter and cleaner and more wonderful. God gave us a reset and showed us that it isn't as bad as you think. The people that have been telling you that it's irreversible are wrong. It is reversible. It is doable if we just have a righteous viewpoint. It's amazing. What else is He doing? There's the reset. And then there's this horrible thing that's just been happening, that's all related to George Floyd and that terrible murder. But racism has come up again. Now, that hasn't been a major topic for quite a while. What's going on with that? We get used to dealing with things in a certain way. And we accept certain sins, certain personal foibles that we just kind of overlook. And we overlook it in the things that we like. We make excuses for it. Fact is that racism is here. And it is bigger than we want to think it is. And it needs to be dealt with. I think that the enemy had a plan, but I think God is working it for good. Watch what happens out of this. I think we will be looking at this racism thing the rest of the year, the calendar year here. And that some terrible voices will be heard because they cry the loudest, but some good voices will be heard as well. Some voices of balance and some voices that want to get us to a place where we actually address racism in the military and the RCMP and in government even and in sports. It does exist, and it needs to be eradicated. We need to not put up with it. We can't put up with it for, you know, if people are prejudiced against women or men or white people or black people or whatever. And it reminded me this week of a story. I grew up in New Westminster, and New Westminster was kind of a hodgepodge of every, you know, like I went to school, elementary school, secondary school, with people of almost every color. We had Native people, we had Black people, we had Sikhs, we had Chinese, we had Japanese, all in my class, and I didn't understand that you shouldn't like them and that you shouldn't play with them. It just wasn't part of who we were. So much so that, like, naivety of children is just, like, we're stupid sometimes. My friend Kelly Gordon, who lived just up the block from us, it was a Black boy. He was just my friend. And we watched the news one night, and they were burning crosses in lawns. And we didn't understand the significance of that. It just looked like fun. It was a fire. And so we took out some lighter fluid and put it on his lawn and put it in the shape of a cross. We didn't want to make a whole big cross and burn that. And then we put a match to it, and this cross was burning on his lawn. And it was neat. And then his mom came out and made me a person of color. Black and blue. She was not happy. It was. I never did that again. I still didn't understand what the significance of it was. I didn't understand that for a number of years, but just the stupid things you do, you know? So yeah, I've been a person of color since I was very young. But watch what God's doing with that. Just pray into it. Yeah. Check your own hearts. Do you think less of somebody? Like, there was a big to-do about people with turbans being allowed to wear turbans to ride a motorcycle. And like, you could smell the racism in it. We called it safety, but it was racist in its origins. And we need to check the heart of what it is that we're finding our judgment points on. And our judgment points on each other as well. God is up to something absolutely wonderful. He's checking our hearts. I think that somewhere in the Bible it says that he's going to come back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Anybody ever heard that before? Well, there's some heat that needs to be applied to get the wrinkles out. You got to iron them out. And there's some some disinfectant that needs to be applied to spots to get them removed. And he's up to that right now. This may well be end times. It has all of the markings of it. But if it is, he will remain good in the midst of it. He will be up to something absolutely astronomically good in the midst of the horror and the darkness that's out there. But we need to have eyes that are willing to see him. Eyes that are hungry for what God is doing, and not hungry for what is the latest news that they want to shove down my throat that has no bearing with the truth. We need to find other entertainment points than what we picked up in the COVID time. We enjoyed our conspiracy theories in this time. I did anyway. But it's time to be focused on God and what He's doing. It's time to be about His business and to focus on the work that He has for us and put aside that altar as well. Because I'll tell you, there's a world out there desperate for an answer that's right. Desperate for the truth. And I don't mean because I say it's the truth. I mean the person of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, he says. Truth is the person of Jesus. And when people are confronted with the truth, the real truth, it will make a difference. They're desperate for something to hold on to right now, because all of the stuff that they have held on to has proven ineffectual in this time. They built their lives around sports or entertainment or whatever, comfort, and it was all ripped away in a day. Who said, you can't enjoy that anymore? That's not a question, that's a statement. Who is World Health Organization? We were told by our one world government at that point, we had it for just a very little while there, one world government, the World Health Organization was in charge of the entire world. They issued decrees, and they were carried out to the furthest reaches of the planet. Amazing, isn't it? Was there an insurrection or resistance? Nope. There will be next time, if this ever leaves. It may not, because some people are getting very comfortable being dictators and having anything they want passed. So pay attention to what God is saying. This is the time we need to hear God. We need you to hear God. It's not about whether I do or not. I tell the story of when my wonderful bride went to Rome without me in 1999. She went with her sister. And they talked to all kinds of Italian people there, just getting to know them. And the common understanding was that if Papa lived a good life, we'll all go to heaven. Papa is the Pope, you know, the Papa. So if Papa lives a good life, we're all going to go to heaven. I tell you, this may come as a shock, but if I live a good life, you're not going to heaven. Yeah, gonna go get a membership in another church. We all have to make an account before God on that day. And the test only has one question. Why should I let you in? The answer is Jesus. It's not anything you've done. You may get rewards for winning souls or, you know, crowns of glory, but you're not going to get in for anything but the one door. Jesus is the door. And so if your answer is anything but Jesus on that day, I think you're going to be disappointed. And then you're going to say, but Papa Randy lived a good life. I'm trying to get you all there. So pay attention, please. We asked in prayer 3 months ago for God to open our eyes to the spirit realm. And I believe He is, but it may not look like you think it will. See what it is that He's doing. Discern the things that He's about, because He has something absolutely wonderful. Might not be comfortable, Matter of fact, I can probably guarantee it won't be. But because why on earth would you need a comforter if it was? Right? He gave us a comforter for a reason. Right? You know that, the Holy Spirit is called the comforter? Just in case you were wondering. And he gave us the comforter for a reason. And we will be leaning on him in these days. David, did I give you some scriptures to read? Yeah. Would you come up here? We're going to read from Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. Oh, sorry. Green.
Good morning. Romans. When I phoned Pastor last night, or texted him rather, for today's passage, I was on Facebook Live with my fiance, as we do hours and hours every day. And when I said the passage, I have to go over this right now to start praying. And she's like, "What?" And I'm "What?" She said, "That's the passage that Becca said earlier in the day. Said you need to read the new Romans to Daddy." So it was the same passage. So it's pretty neat. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We now stand confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character and strength of character." Sorry, somehow my eyes just skipped around here. "And strength of character, our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners."
Thank you, Lord. While we were yet sinners, while we were God's enemies, he came toward us. Isn't that amazing? And he made the most incredible sacrifice for us. Oh, Lord. I was reading a couple of weeks ago about a woman author. Her name is Rachel Held Evans. Anybody heard of her? Amazing woman. She was called just a sec. The most influential mainline theologian of her generation, the C.S. Lewis of her time. That's pretty high praise. And she was not a woman who was banging a drum. She was a woman who was being honest about her own struggles, her own questions about church. She was widely read and widely criticized, but widely appreciated as well. She died at the age of 37 last year, leaving two kids and a husband, but left people with some honest questions about church. And we really need to look at some of those things. You know, like she wrote a book that was called Searching for Sunday. And it was, she wasn't happy with the way church had been in her life. She'd been in church all of her life. But where it there is this subtle pressure in church, sometimes not so subtle, to put on a false identity, to tell well-intentioned lies. And I believe every church that I'm aware of is a party to it, including us here. Oh, I was hoping everybody would go, oh, not us. when we ask each other, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good, great, wonderful, you know, glory to God, whoa. You know? When they're struggling with some really incredibly hard things. Now, the way I understand it is that's a lie. And we don't want to do that. Now, much of that came from subtle pressures on each other to become something more than they are. And that's what Jesus is calling us to be. I preached about it last week. His likeness. He says we're going to be like him. And his job is to complete the work that he started in us. And so we want to be looking at ones that are ahead of us on the journey. But Christ came for sinners. And here is my understanding of the process. When Christ took our sins, he took every sin that you will ever commit, past, present, and future. But brother, what about unrepentant sins? Well, what if you die? You've been good all your life, but you die and you have one sin on your heart. Is God going to toss you out of heaven for that? Oh, no, that's grace. Well, then why not two? Why not 10? Does grace not cover those things as well? I believe that he died for every single sin. I believe that he is satisfied completely. Propitiation is a huge word that means that it's dealt with. He is satisfied. We, however, are moving toward that place. Sin still has a place in our lives. We are no longer under the umbrella of the nation of sin or the control of sin life, because we have moved from there to be covered by grace. And yet, if we're honest, all of us can still choose to sin. You don't have to go beyond the little lies that you've told coming into church this morning. Those are justifiable lies, though, right? Justifiable sins. Because they're in the house of God. But it is still us. And so I think that God gave us this beautiful, beautiful gift of repentance. To say we're without sin is to make God a liar. Because we still are in this place, moving all truly into a place of sinlessness. And some of us are further along than others. But the atmosphere and the culture that we create is an unreal one. Because I am in order to be accepted, I have to say that things are going great and God is good and I am not struggling in any way. And yet lots of people are. And so we make a hilly ground at the foot of the cross. God wants you to straighten out my theology, Bob. There, at the foot of the cross, there are no hills, but yet some people seem to be up higher than others. They're closer somehow. And that's where we want to be, and we want to be seen as one of those, and we want to be trusted as one of those. But what that creates is an atmosphere of where we need to have Holy Spirit detectives that can see what somebody's really going through. Well, we shouldn't trust them because they do this. Well, I've noticed that they have this problem. Have you seen them on Sunday? They're not the same on Monday. And so the Holy Spirit detectives are able to dig out the dirt. But in my life, it's seeing dirt has never been a big issue. Like, dirt is everywhere. And I can see it in everybody. And I think you can see it in everybody. You don't need to be a detective. What we need to be is Holy Spirit people who look for the pearl that's in each one. What did God see in that one? And am I praying for that? Or am I telling people, well, I saw them doing this the other day, and we should pray about that, but can you believe that they did that? Oh. We're a bad bunch. And everyone left. There's a better way to live. Now, I don't have the complete answer to all of that. But there is something absolutely beautiful about AA. They at the beginning of an AA session, they say, hi, my name is Randy, and I'm a sinner. That's the way it would go in church, right? My name is Randy, and I'm a sinner. Now, we don't want to be labeled that way because I've moved past that. I am no longer under this banner of sin. I am saved by grace. I am under grace. The umbrella over me is grace. And yet, I can struggle with sin. So what do we do? Because you know that when you say that, God says, this is what happens in church, or what should happen in church. I say, hi, I'm Randy, and I'm a sinner. God says, your name is Randy, and you are my righteousness. That's the truth. But unless I'm honest about, even just to myself, about what I'm struggling with, then I make the ground at the foot of the cross uneven. Because I am not allowing people to be on the same level as I am. I put pressure on people to appear better than they are. I put pressure on people to say that they're better than they are. And I think that God is doing something in this season that's allowing us to really take a good look at some of those things. Like the racism thing. Like it's there. And those of us who have eyes to see have seen it for a long time, but we've put up with it. And it's not acceptable. It is not acceptable in any form. Neither is the untruthfulness and the subtle pressures that we put on each other at church. We need to have the ground level again at the foot of the cross. We are all in this together. That's why I don't wear robes. I'm licensed and ordained, and I could have robes on and a collar and look pretty sharp. But the fact is that I'm called for a purpose, as you are. But those robes make everybody look at you differently. Well, there's a distance between me and them. But over the past 50 years, we've learned that many of those that wear robes have been terrible sinners and done atrocities to children and done other things. Is that their fault? Yes, it's their fault. They made choices. But so did we, by putting them on a higher plane that they needed to be on, by not treating them as people who would struggle the same way as I might struggle, by not recognizing that every person on earth struggles with sin in one way or another. I read a story some time ago about a pastor who had a black walnut tree in his yard. And my grandpa Jack had a black walnut tree, so the story caught me. And so this guy, when he recognized that the walnuts were ready, he went out and picked a bunch of the walnuts and put them in baskets and came over and was going to shuck them, you know, take them out of the covering and get at the nut inside. Well, they're harder to shuck than an oyster. They're terrible. Really difficult to get into. And so this guy struggled and struggled for minutes on end with just one. And as he was prying and pushing, this juice is running everywhere, and he finally got one open. And then a half hour later, he got the second one open, and he thought, this just isn't worth it. So he went to church the next day, and as he's washing his hands to prepare for church, he noticed that there is a black stain all over his hands. And he cannot get it out. Gasoline wouldn't take it out. Soap wouldn't take it out. He just couldn't get it off his hands. The juice of the black walnut is is a dye. And he was going to have to serve communion with these black hands. And so he had to explain the story to people. And explained that he had washed and washed and washed, but yet his hands are stained. The word says that who may ascend the hill of the Lord, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart. There is no way that we can clean our own hands sufficiently to be in God's presence. There is no way our hearts can be made by ourselves pure enough to be in God's presence. It must all be the work of God. It must all be the work of God. He is at work in us to clean our hands and to purify our hearts. And he's going to do the things that he's going to do. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, this pastor went on to tell that somebody at the end of the sermon came to him and says, well, you know, you've got a gravel driveway. Just take all of your walnuts and put them on the driveway and run over them for 4 or 5 days. And at the end of that time, pick them up and they'll come out easily because they've been crushed, you know. And you'll have black rocks all over you. There's ways to get at everything. But I thought that was a wonderful story that just made a point that I felt like God's heart was this morning, that you are to have hope and to lift your heads, recognizing that the thing that kept your head down was false. It's you struggling with your own stuff and you being left with yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. You can't run away from yourself. He wants us to recognize that he is actually working in us to make us like Jesus. And to have us live like Jesus, but to not be in a place of shame or condemnation. Because the psychologists will tell you that there's a cycle that human beings get into. It's called the guilt-shame cycle. You sin, and you're overwhelmed by the guilt and the shame of having sinned. And so that weighs on you and festers in you until you must act out and sin again, at which time you are hit with guilt and shame. And you struggle and fight against it until it festers to the place where you must act out again. The guilt-shame cycle. That's the devil who entices you to sin. Come on, come on, you know you really want it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And as soon as you do it, he says, you scumbag. How could you do that? You're a Christian. You've heard that voice. Yeah. It's God's work. It's not our work. It's our cooperation with him. But his work. He will make our hands clean. He will make our hearts pure. He gives us a new heart, as a matter of fact. He's amazing, but he doesn't want us to feel the shame or the guilt or that we are lesser somehow than the Pope is, or who is your favorite Christian? The one that has arrived. You are no less than them in the eyes of God. But he wants us truthful, and he wants us to not play at phoniness. I don't have an answer for how we do that, because to move into that is a hill too far for some people. I just can't be honest about what I struggle with, Pastor. Well, hopefully someday we'll get to that, because if these are last days. If these are last days, then people are going to come by the tens and hundreds and thousands to church looking for the answer. Now, when people come through that door and they you know that they have an Adam's apple bouncing up and down, so they were born a man, but they're dressed like a woman, Are you going to sit next to them? Are you going to welcome them in? Or are you going to say, oh, I know what's up there. Do we put them down or do we welcome them in? And they can be of any shape, any size, any of the LGBTQ 2X, whatever it is, you know. Will we welcome them, or is this a phony place where only the holy may enter? What if it's people from the street that just stink because they haven't had a shower for a long time? Will you sit next to them and make them feel welcome? Make them feel like Jesus is here and he loves you. And he accepts you right now, right where you are. Will we see that? Are we ready for that? Or is comfort the idol of our church? Oh, it's not comfortable to sit next to them. I don't want to sit next to them. Or if it's somebody you haven't gotten along with for a while, and you just know that they're at fault, because how could I be? Will you go sit next to them and show them love? That's hard. And I don't know that we're at a place where we can yet. But hopefully we can check these things with God. And he'll lead us to the place where we can actually do that. Where we can be honest and approach people. It's all about him. And we really end up taking it on like it's all about me. We live our lives like it's all about me. And we go out of our way to orchestrate everything in our lives so that I have control of it all. And I am never out of my comfort zone. But I know God well enough to know that he's going to ask you to be out of your comfort zones in the next while. Ask you to be about his business and not just about yours. And he has ways to do it that will be upon you before you can recognize it. We saw the World Health Organization become the one world government overnight. God can move faster than the devil. When he does in your life, do not, I implore you, turn him away. Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go to them and say, I'm sorry. They're wrong. They're bad, not me. What if that breaks the yoke that is upon the two of you in relationship? Be open to him, I pray, to what he's doing in this season. My brother Ron, would you like to come and dig me out of this hole that I'm in?
Praise you, Lord. I don't wear a robe because they're all too long for me. So, praise God. So, have you been feeling for a while, I have, that there's this thing that's trying to suck you into having an opinion? You know, like with my family and other people, it's like, you know, what do you think about what's happening? And what's your opinion about this? And it's like, they, you know, as soon as you say something, of course, then there's contention. And there's, so, you know, I think that's what we need to guard our hearts against, is you know, that I don't allow my heart to be get sucked into this place, that my opinion really doesn't mean anything, and people don't really want to hear my opinion anyway. But again, as Christians, you know, what's our position? And I think I said last week again, in every situation, you know, either we react in the soul, and then we present our opinion, and then get into an argument or whatever, or else we respond in the spirit. Resetting our focus. I feel a little bit chastened today, but it's good. And I think that we always want to be in that place because with that, in Hebrews, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, or of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? This is in Hebrews 12, 14. I believe this is where our hearts need to be. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So, in the beginning of Hebrews 12, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross, and in Christ we can endure all things. So, Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that for each one of us, that you are dealing with our hearts. With each one of us, you have mercy. Your grace has been poured out for us. You are changing us. And you're changing us as individuals. And as Pastor had said, we can look at others and see where people need to be changed. But help us, Lord, to just look at our own hearts and to allow you to do the chastening. And guard our hearts, Lord, that we don't allow ourselves to come into a place of guilt and shame. But it's your chastening, Lord God. We welcome that. I welcome that today, Father, because I know that it causes me to be more like your son. Just thank you, Father, today. And for each one here, Lord, and each one that's watching, that today each one of us would just know Jesus in a deeper way. And as we go from this place, we go through our day, we spend time with our families, different people, and we know that there's going to be things come up and we're challenged again to take a position maybe. But help us, Lord, that we would take the position of being in Christ. So, Father, guard our hearts, guard our minds, and direct our hearts this day, Lord. And as we go, Father, we ask for your peace, your guidance, and by the Spirit of the Lord today, we just say to all, go in peace. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ron brought up a good thing there. If you feel chastened and you want to be at the altar on your knees or standing, then the altar is open. Like, we don't want to be laying hands on you at this at this time, but there's a place for us at the foot of the cross that is level and available for us. Today is a day when no one's going to be thinking, oh, I wonder what they're up there for. There is a holiness in the room right now. And if you want to respond to it, please come forward and do some time with God. If you're at home,
your prayer closet is not far away. Go there and be with God. Do a little spiritual house clean. You will be glad you did. Bless you. And as Pastor Ron said, go in peace.